I want to welcome you to our National Late to Worship Sunday, and so glad that you could be here. Either you thought enough ahead to change your clocks last night, or you have technology that's smarter than you are. Either way, I'm glad you're here, and I praise God for online worship even that much more today. Because there are a handful of people that are going to show up here at about noon, ready for worship to start. And we'll be able to send them to our Facebook page and YouTube, and they'll be able to watch the worship service at their leisure as we are leaving from the building. But no, it's good to have everyone here with us. Last week we started a new sermon series called Money Talks. And it has been so interesting to hear some of the feedback that I got from this discussion that we started last week in regard to how our money talks about our stress, right? And man, it was really, really interesting there. And so I hope that as we continue to engage this topic over the next few weeks, that you will continue the conversations, right? These are really important for us to wrestle with. And these are conversations that many times we don't really think about. But the truth of the matter is that your money says something about you. Your money says something about your faith. Your money, as we're going to talk about today, says something about your priorities and that which is important to you. And so you've really got to wrestle with and ask yourself, like, what is my money saying about my priorities? That's what we're going to talk about today. How does your money talk about you when it comes to your priorities? Now, what's interesting about your money is your money doesn't care about what you want your priorities to be. Amen. Your money only shows what is a priority in your life, right? There's a difference between an aspirational priority, in other words, that's something that you really want to be a priority in your life, and the reality which actually shows the priorities of your life. Like, for example, I can want to exercise every single day of my life, but that's wanting to doesn't make me any stronger. Wanting to doesn't change my body in a positive way, right? Wanting to might leave my body to change in some negative ways, maybe. But so you see the difference. There is a difference between what is my aspirational priority and what is the reality. And your money talks about what is really a priority in your life, right? Because when you spend that money, that's going out now. That's something that's happening now. And so we've got to, what I want to wrestle with today is when our money talks, what is it saying about what is a priority to us? What is it telling other people is a priority in our lives? Or for that matter, what is your money telling you is a priority in your life? Because that might be different than what you think your priorities really are. And then really more than anything, what I hope we can get to today is to really talk through, like, if our priorities are out of whack, if what we want our priorities to be are different than what our priorities really are, how do we shift from one to the other? How do we get in alignment here so that our money is saying what we want it to say about what we want to be a priority in our lives? I want to read for you today. We're going to focus our attention in Matthew chapter 6. Verses 19 through 21. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn there now. We're going to go ahead and read this. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19, and reading down through verse 21. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Let me read this for you here. And I'm reading out of the New International Version this morning. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Pray with me. God, we thank you so much for your presence here among us right now, and I thank you, God, that you have a word for us today. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours, Father. I submit myself to the control of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would even speak to me as you are speaking to all of us in this time, Lord. Help us, Father, that we would not only hear what you are saying, but Lord, that we would allow your word to penetrate our hearts, God, that we would dare to walk in obedience to your word today. Help us, Father, that we would wrestle with things that might be hard. And Lord, help us that we would submit ourselves to you, even if it is challenging. Help us, Lord, that we would say yes to your will and way today. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So priorities, according to Matthew 6 here, priorities are basically those things that we treasure, right? And your treasure is the thing that has your heart, again, according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Your treasure, your priority is that thing that has your heart. And if it has your heart, if your heart is behind it, then that means that the priorities of your life are centered around that which your heart is going toward. All right? So the treasures that we have are the priorities in our lives because our heart is behind it and our heart is invested in it. Now, what I want us to recognize as we go through this here is that there is a difference between things that are important and things that are priorities, right? Now, some of this language might seem like semantics in some ways, but it really is important to make these distinctions and these differences, and I'll show you what I mean here in a minute. But the difference is that, like, there are some things that are important to you that may not necessarily need to be a priority for you, right? Like it is important for you that you you know, have a job that you can provide for your family. And it is important, and let me say it this way, it is important even that you have a means by which to be able to get to the job that you have, right? It is important that you have that way to get there, that you have a car, a truck, or a bus, or however you're getting there. It's important that you have that. However, it is not a priority that you drive a particular car to get there, right? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's important that you have a way there, but if it is a priority in your life that you have to have a Ferrari to get yourself to your job, right? Then we may be a little bit out of whack there. That's all I'm saying, right? It is important that you are able to provide for your family, right? But it is not necessarily a priority that you have to live in a four-story house, right? Do you see what I'm saying here? There are things that are important, but they don't necessarily need to be a priority, right? The treasures on earth that are referred to here in Matthew chapter 6 may have some value and they may be important, but it becomes a problem when you have your heart set on important things that are not designed to be priorities. Do you see that? Do you see that? It becomes a problem. Like, for example, it lists out here as far as those treasures on earth, anything that can be destroyed, eaten, broken, or stolen, right? A treasure, according to Matthew 6 here, is anything that can be, or a treasure of or an earthly treasure is anything that can be destroyed, eaten, broken, or stolen, right? Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, like I like to eat. I sure do like to eat. Right? That is important to me, right? But according to Matthew 6, that does not necessarily need to be set up as a priority. That is not, that is a treasure of earth, if you will, not a treasure of heaven. Do you see that distinction? Now again, I'm just trying to show you what the word is saying here. So if this feels a little awkward, if it feels a little like, wait a second, Pastor, like what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say what the Bible's trying to say. And so you wrestle with me here and we'll see where we end up in this, right? Because what it's also saying is that treasures in heaven are those things that cannot be destroyed, cannot be eaten, cannot be broken, cannot be stolen. So if our treasure is stolen, in other words, it's an earthly treasure, what happens to our hearts? Do you see the problem there? So when our heart, which is if we've designated something as a treasure, right, then our heart is behind that because it is a priority in our life. If we treasure things that are not designed to be treasures, if we treasure things that are of this earth, then when those things are broken or stolen or destroyed, then what happens to our hearts? Our hearts are broken as well, right? Because that thing that we treasured is no longer there. And we find ourselves in this state of dismay because we have lost our earthly treasure. Now watch this, though. Because when we actually have our hearts set on the treasures of heaven, we recognize here that those treasures cannot be taken from us. They can't be broken. They can't be destroyed. They can't be removed. Vermin can't get there and moth can't get to them, right? And so now our heart, when appropriately aligned with the treasures of heaven, cannot be broken because our priorities are solid in who God is. Like, you can't. I remember when I was in college, I would mess around with people and everything, and particularly like playing soccer and that kind of stuff. And I would like to talk smack to people a lot. It was just a lot of fun. That's probably where my son gets it from. And I would love to just, if we were playing and somebody was trying to like come against me or whatever like that, and I would be able to do some sort of good positive play or whatever like that. Oh, I'd just look him right in the face and say, "You can't faze me. You can't faze me. You can't stop me," right? And that is the mentality that we can have when our priorities are aligned correctly, because the things that you can take from me, like take them. But where my heart is, like if my heart is aligned with the treasures of heaven, you can't faze me. You can't break me. You can't destroy me. You can't remove me. Like when I am set solid in who God is and what he has for me, those treasures in heaven, like you can take everything material from me, but you're not taking me. You're not taking my faith. You're not taking my God. You're not taking his faithfulness. You're not taking his love. You're not taking my daily bread. You're not taking my sustenance to get from yesterday to tomorrow. Like, you can't face me like that. Because I've got my priorities set in line. You see why this is really important now, right? Because if our heart is set on something that is designed to be destroyed, then where does that leave our heart? So what I want to sort of talk through is why this is important to wrestle with. Like, it's not just a matter of the heart, which is profoundly important to be aware of. What is it that your heart has set as a priority in your life, and how is your money telling you what your heart is actually set on, right? But there's another reason as well that we really need to investigate this. And for this, we're gonna turn to Luke chapter 12. Now in Luke chapter 12, we're gonna start in verse 31. And these verses, eventually we're gonna get to a few verses that sound very similar to what we just read in Matthew chapter 6. All right, and so we can recognize that whether this is just two authors saying the same thing in just a little bit different wording, or whether this is just maybe Jesus is teaching the same thing in different places, and so it just kind of comes out in different places in different ways. Either way, you're going to see some commonalities here, particularly the verse that talks about that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also, right? But there's something else that is connected to it here that I want us to see and I want us to wrestle with. So again, Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 31, and I want to just go down to verse 34 right now. It says, Luke 12, starting in verse 31, "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." By the way, these things is referring to earthly things, all right? Verse 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. Watch this now. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we see here, and in fact, here we get this sort of added element into it that not only do we need to be aware of what our priority is, but Jesus actually tells his disciples, like, this earthly stuff is so useless, just sell it. Get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Like, sell it, give it to the poor, get the treasures of heaven. Like, that's actually what's going to help your life, right? And so it's not only just focus on gaining treasures in heaven, but he's just like, just get rid of the other stuff. It's just slowing you down anyway, right? Now, here's the connection that I want you to see here next, and we're going to keep reading verses 35 and 36. Now, before I do that, in the NIV, there's a title that's listed here called watchfulness. And I just want to be real clear to let you know that in the original Greek, that is not there, right? Of course, there also aren't any spaces or verses or chapters or punctuation or anything like that either, for that matter. All of those are translated editorial things that help us understand God's word in a way that is in our current vernacular and language and so forth. So what it looks here as if there's like, okay, that is a hard period at the end of verse 34 that says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then it's almost like, okay, and so next conversation, or maybe it's even another day or another year, who knows? But what I want you to recognize is in the original text, like the end of 34 is right next to the beginning of verse 35, right? There's no space, there's no gap, there's no punctuation. Like 34, 35 goes right into each other. I need you to understand this because there is a connection here that if we just read these stories separately, we will not make. But when we see verse 34 that says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, then we come into verse 35 and 36, which read as follows. Be dressed and ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. See, this is what I need you all to get and to understand. This is not, while we're talking about what it is your money is saying about you, this is not a message about money. Come on with me now. You're going to get there, right? This is, maybe you guys will catch this a little better. This is not a message about money. What this is a message about readiness. All right? Your money will tell you about your priorities. Your priorities will tell you what you're actually getting ready for. I hope you're getting that today. All right? Your money will tell you what is a priority in your life. Your priorities will tell everybody what it is that you're getting ready for. Right? What Jesus is telling his disciples here is that we're not going to be here forever. Right? There is an end that is coming, and we need to get ourselves ready for that. And in order to get yourself ready, if being ready for the return of Christ is a priority in your life, then what I need you to do is I need you to stop worrying about all this earthly stuff that ain't going to last to the other side anyway. I need you, in fact, just sell it all because it's just getting in the way, right? I need you to be so focused on heaven that when I come back, you feel like you're already there, right? This is, when your money talks about your priorities, it shows you and everybody else what it is you are preparing for. And it might show that really what we're preparing for is just our next vacation, or our next car, or our bigger house, or that really good plate of dinner, right? When what we ought to be preparing for is Jesus. Let me not get too far ahead of myself on that right there. So there's this door up here. I don't know if you guys recognize it. Maybe you haven't seen it yet. There's a door here. So I want to try to illustrate for you, I think, what this looks like. And I hope I can reflect to you adequately of what the Lord has given me. So the idea here in verses 35 and 36 is to be dressed and ready. Verse 36, like servants waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door. I know on Sunday afternoons, we host a community group at our house. We have some windows by our front door there at the dining room, and we almost always have those blinds open. And so if somebody parks in our driveway, they walk across those windows before they get to the door. And what I love to do, I don't know why, I just love to do this. I love it when people come, I love to hop up from the couch, get to the door, and I love to open it right before they knock. Right? Like, it's my goal that to time it just perfectly, right? So that I open the door and they're like, they do this, right? Like the door was there, but it just went right on through, right? Like, I don't know why I enjoy it so much. It's just, there's something about the timing of it all. If I can get there and just open it just so that they just miss the door, that's like ideal for me. That is what I have in mind when I think of what Jesus is saying here. That the servants are so ready, they're so prepared, they're so looking for Jesus that they see him coming through the window once he parks in the driveway, and they're like waiting at the door, like they're listening for his steps. They're like waiting to hear his shirt crinkle when his arm goes back, just thinking like, "Hey, I'm ready, Jesus, right? I'm ready." Now that's ideal. That is, in my mind, that is the goal that we're shooting for, right? What happens though is there are other things. Let me do it like this. We'll use this. This is whatever. This is a really nice car. Let me say it that way. This is a really nice car. This is a really nice car that I want really, really bad, that I'm willing to work extra for, that I'm this is a priority in my life, right? And so the problem is that, like, the car is there and I can be here at the door, like, waiting and ready, right? And as I'm here, like, I can be ready and also recognize the importance of having a vehicle to get myself to work, right? But that car in particular is what I have in mind, right? And the problem is that with these things that are earthly, like, again, those things that are earthly can be destroyed and stolen and everything, right? And so what happens is things will come up in our lives and these things begin to get stolen, right? And sometimes it might be like when I say stolen, I don't mean like literally out of the driveway. I mean, like, sometimes we realize, like, oh man, this job that I'm working right now, it doesn't pay enough. How am I supposed to get that car if I'm still working this job? I got to go work another job so I can get that car, right? And so there's all kinds of different ways that becomes a priority and begins to become the treasure in our lives, right? And so while we're kind of here preparing and ready and we're waiting to open the door, all of a sudden we see that this thing over here is being stolen. And so we're going over and we're like trying to hold on to it, like no, don't take it from me. I gotta keep it here, right? And before long it's snatched up out of our hands. It's like it's all the way over in the east wing at this point, right? Go with me on the illustration here. I'm a little limited, help me, all right? And so it's way out there. We're like, oh man, like how am I gonna do this? And so eventually we're just like, man, I gotta go get that thing so I can bring it back. And while we're going and we're fighting for it and we're wrestling with it, we're like, yeah, I finally got it. We come back and we realize that Jesus has already knocked on the door. And it's not like we're not selling the house, right? We're not locking the door. Right? It's not like we've given up on Jesus and we say, oh, I don't believe in God anymore or anything like that. It's just that this became a treasure instead of that. So this became what we were preparing for instead of him. This became what we were dedicated to rather than the expectation that Jesus was going to arrive. The treasure of earth pulls us away, and the truth of the matter is we can't have two priorities. Earlier this week, he cracked me up. one of the kids was in the car with me, and we were pulling out, and I don't even remember where we were going. And one of them said, we're talking about a movie. And they said, oh, that's my first favorite movie right there. Your first favorite, you mean like your favorite? No, I got other favorites as well. If you got other favorites, then this isn't your favorite. And they said, no, I got a second favorite and a third favorite too, right? But this is my first favorite. And I just kept thinking, like, well, if it's your first favorite, then it's your favorite, right? Like, it's at the top. Like, it's number one. But they were just like, no. Like, I got all kinds of favorites. It's just one of those favorites, right? And it just sort of dawned on me, like, I wonder if that's not kind of how we are in terms of our readiness for Christ's return as well. He's a favorite, don't get me wrong. Like, he's in the top five, right? And we'd really like to be here to open the door when he comes, but we got a second favorite over here too, right? And it's kind of nice as well. And it's not like I don't like that, but I do like this as well. The problem is that we can't have two priorities. And so we got to ask ourselves, what is it that we are really preparing for? Are we just preparing for the next purchase? Or the next trip, the next experience? Are we just preparing for more stuff for us? Or are we preparing for the return of a Savior that is going to bring judgment to all the earth? Are we preparing to bring other people with us so that as we are anticipating the open of the door, like we can be calling our friends to be like, hey, y'all got to come on over. Like, Jesus is going to be here in a minute. You don't want to miss him, right? Like, that's the whole part of disciples making disciples. Like our priority is not in the next purchase. Our priority is in finding that other people can be here in the house with us so that when Jesus comes and he passes the window, we can all open the door together like, hey, Jesus, we're here. And how difficult would it be to recognize that even if we are there to open the door for Jesus, like right before he knocks, but we're standing there by ourselves, right? It makes me wonder, like, don't get me wrong, like, if you're ready for Jesus when he comes, praise God. But I'd sure like to think Jesus would think it was even cooler if you could have a whole house full of people that are all there, right? That are all waiting, that are all like, yeah, we're in this thing together. We recognize, yeah, the temptation for the earthly treasure is there, and we realize that like some things are important just to kind of make it each day, but we together we recognize those things are not our priority. Our priority is we're gonna be ready for Jesus when he knocks on that door so that we can open that thing and say, Jesus, we're here and we're ready. See, your money talks about your priorities. How you spend and what you invest in and who you invest in and how you go about those things. Your money talks about your priorities. And it's showing you and everyone else how it is and who it is that you are preparing for. I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on back up. And as they do, I want you to think about this too, because this is not just something to think about in terms of like when Jesus returns, like end of times kind of thing. But this is really about like, are we going to be ready when Jesus shows up, like every time, right? Think about that now. Catch this for me. Watch this now. See, we are not just preparing for Jesus to come back someday. We are preparing right now for Jesus to show up every day. Come on, I hope you catch that here. Because you're going to walk out of this building and you're going to need Jesus to knock on your door. You're going to need Jesus to show up at your house. You're going to need Jesus to perform a miracle in your life or in your family or in your job or whatever. Like, you're going to need Jesus. And the question is, are you preparing for Jesus to show up, or is your money telling you that you're just preparing for whatever this earth might have to offer? Because the truth is that those things are going to be destroyed. They're going to be stolen. They're going to be taken. They're not going to last. And then what happens to our heart when that happens? Where is your heart? And what is your money saying about your priorities and where your heart is? What is it that you are chasing after? What is it that you are preparing for? What is it that you're getting ready for? And what is it that your money shows you are getting ready for? As we sing, I want to encourage you to just call on the Lord to speak into your heart. What is it that your money is saying about your priorities? And how is it that your money is telling you and others about who and what it is you are preparing for in your life? Stand with me if you would. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing. I knew that this was going to be a challenging one for us today because this is a wrestling match that we have in terms of how it is that we spend our money to glorify God. Like, what does it look like to be a steward of God's resources in such a way that it honors Him and that we are still preparing for His arrival? Like, how do we live in this earth and in His kingdom at the same time, right? These are things that are important for us to wrestle with. And I hope that you take that opportunity to do that even today. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your presence here among us. Thank you, Lord, for every resource that you have allowed to pass through our hands. Help us, God, to set you as a priority in our lives and to truly prepare ourselves for the return of Jesus, for the return of a Savior. But help us, Father, to prepare for the return of Jesus even in our day-to-day lives. Lord, that we might be ready to open that door and let you come in and do your miracle work in each and every day of our lives. Prepare us even now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.